For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Madonna Hines, Mia Hansen Aloha, Christy Dougherty, Just Sayin', Kelly Barlow, and Cindy Gerson. We love you girls. Hello, and welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV and the Rose Pricks Bachelorette podcast. And here I am with the gorgeous and slightly under the weather Ben Mandelker of the B-Side blog and the Banta Blender. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Sir Gerd.
Sir Gerd.
Everything's great. And it's really great because today we get to talk about Southern Charm Savannah.
Oh, you know, good for you, Southern Charm Savannah. We were waiting for you to do something truly podcast worthy. And I feel like this week you finally brought it to us. So thank you. I'm excited for this episode. I'm excited to talk about it.
Yes. As usual, the internet isn't really sure what to think, but I'm personally loving it. I mean, I'm laughing every time. So
I'm not sure if I would say I'm loving it. It's not quite at McDonald's level for me. It's probably like a solid Carl's Jr. where it's like, it's fine. It works in a pinch. But like the original Southern Charm, and as Greenwood said yesterday in our listener spotlight, you know, the original Southern Charm took a little bit to get up to speed. It was like fine. It wasn't amazing. But by the end of the season, it sort of like, you're like, you know what? I sort of like that show. And I feel like Southern Charm Savannah's moving on that trajectory. It's not amazing, but it's entertaining enough. So far.
Oh, that's like, what a warm hug. What a warm hug to Savannah.
Yeah.
This one opened up with Nelson doing the previously on Southern Charm Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't write down the whole thing, so don't worry. But I love that he said, well, in Savannah, people get married faster than you can say gazoon tight.
Yeah, I was like, wait, why does one thing have to do the other? But then I realized he said wedding fever, and so I guess the fever is supposed to correlate to gazintite, which I should have known.
Like, how about we leave Yiddish out of our sentences from now on? Like, maybe,
well, that's German.
How about that?
That's German, not Yiddish, so
There you go. Even better.
You know, actually, someone wrote us a very thoughtful email. I'm not going to read the whole thing right now because I don't have it pulled up, and it's not worth reading the whole thing. But they sent like a very thoughtful thing that was not trying to be mean, but it was trying to take an empathetic tone or approach to Nelson. Because remember last week, we were like, you know, Nelson, we feel bad because he's just trying to fit in and he doesn't have the tools to know how to do it, et cetera. And someone suggested maybe he might actually have Asperger's. Maybe this person said his traits, I recognize them in like, I think it was his own son or someone that he knows. And that sometimes, you know, like people who have Asperger's, they don't always understand the social cues and it's just like attempts to try to fit in. I'm butchering the eloquence that the email was sent to us, but it's an interesting theory also, you know, because the question is Nelson gay? Is he not gay? If he isn't gay, why does he act that way? So maybe there's like a mimicry of just whoever he's around to try to like fit in because he doesn't understand social things. I could also be totally butchering what Asperger's is all about, but I thought it was an interesting theory nonetheless.
Yeah, just trying to figure out Nelson. The internet is...
It's my favorite young adult novel. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really need to figure out Nelson. Like, I don't care what it is. But I can't give him, like, fake diseases to excuse anything, you know? I feel like in this day and age, people are good at coming up with their own diseases to fake shit. And at some point, he will. You know, someone will be like, just say you have... you know, Lyme or whatever. And he'll be like, well, Lyme disease, am I right? We'll be like, okay, Nelson, okay.
Lyme.
Yeah, I'd rather wait until he announces a disease before I start calling him a liar about it.
Yeah.
It's only fair.
Okay.
So we open this episode with Dan doing push-ups on his indoor hot tub.
It's nice. I think it was
Ashley wearing a pink floral shirt from Target, as we know from Twitter. Thank you, Twitter. And a cheetah skirt, because she's crazy.
But you know what, though? I'm not going to shame her for that, because I'm wearing shorts from Target as we speak.
Oh, yeah. No, no. There's no Target shaming here. I'm more shaming about the pink floral with the cheetah.
Yeah, it was a clash of the titans there.
That was like an I'm crazy that we don't need to see on your blouse. You know what I mean? Like, let's have lunch, and then we'll talk about how crazy you are. Like,
yeah.
I don't need you to wear it.
Yeah.
So Ashley is with her friend Zia.
Yeah.
He's a cute little Aussie guy. And she's like, since the fire happened, you know, we haven't been using the third floor. But I found a Gula lady to come in and clean the energy. Because Gulaism is a mix between Catholicism and Voodooism. How is there a mix between Catholicism? You know that Voodooism is a total sin in Catholicism, right?
I personally don't know. I don't know. You know, I'm Jewish, so I'm just like, okay, sounds good to me. I learn everything from reality TV.
Everything is a sin in Catholicism, like literally everything. I'm sure Gulaism probably doesn't have its own chapter, but it would piss people off.
So Sister Pat comes in. She is representing the Gula religion. She comes in to clean spirits from the room, etc. And so they go upstairs to the third floor, which still looks the same. And she's like, oh, yes, there's a spirit of anxiety waiting and a pleading for someone to let them go. I'm like, I don't think the spirits are like, please let me go. The spirits are like, can you please clean up in here, please?
Yeah, they're like, could you please get the dust bunnies off the fan before we all die again?
It's the spirit of a Black & Decker fan saying, could you please dust me, please?
I like when she came in. She's like, oh, hello, I'm Sister Pat. How you be, as we say on the island. I'm like, we say that everywhere. But then when she goes, I need to go to the room, they go up. There's shoes on every step of the doorway,
yes,
of the stairway, which is Ashley's way of, like, decorating. But especially once you've just had a emergency, don't put shoes on the stairs. Like, what the fuck? Are you trying to kill poor Izzy? Like,
I think
the fact that Izzy has made it this long is shocking to everybody watching.
The spirits, all they want is a visit from the fire marshal. They're like, listen, we need to somehow fix the situation. Even we're tripping, and we are transparent.
The spirits are telling me they want a hanging bag to put the shoes in.
Sister Pat's like, okay, so what the spirits are saying is clean up all the clutter. There's too much clutter here for your soul. She's like, actually, I just want you to check up the third floor. Oh, so this is not the problem area? Okay.
So she does a prayer, and while Ashley tells us, you know, the bad energy is probably a slave because, you know, of all the history in Savannah, and the slave just needs acknowledgement to move on. It's like, oh, if it were just that simple, Ashley.
Okay, simple. So we just have to do that. We'll fix everything.
Yeah, thanks, slaves. Okay, everything's better, everybody.
So then Sister Pat, yeah, they like hold hands. She's like, dear ancestors and spirits in this room, we are so sorry that the house you have to haunt has to be this cluttered, but at least there are more things for you to throw around and spook people with. Am I right, everyone? Okay, so you can go now. Goodbye, yeah.
And now she's like, can I give you a hug in my bra? She's like, no, keep your clothes on, girl. She goes, well, the only other question I have to ask is about my husband, who I really don't like very much.
Not your soulmate.
I could tell by the way you almost spit on the floor when you said my husband. And your real man hasn't come because you are blocking it. And if he came up these stairs, he'd probably trip and break his neck anyway, girl.
You are literally blocking him with all these tchotchkes in this house.
Your husband can't get past the shoe stairs.
Now, do you want to go swimming? No. Because, you know, we learn how to swim before we walk in South. Yes, I'm aware.
I made a bet you'd say that. Put on your clothes, girl. So next up is Hannah and Lewis. Now, our Hannah and Lewis, I guess I should say.
Louis.
Yeah. So now it turns out that Hannah is going to be a dress designer, which our favorite thing on this show is to look at the drawn-out designs of Bravo celebrities because they're always classic.
Yeah, this is not going to go well for poor Hannah. I like Hannah so far, but has there ever been a Bravo dress line that has taken off? I don't think so. Yeah. So they're browsing for fabrics, and they're walking around. And you know, Louis is actually in the fashion industry as he has a sock company. So they're walking around looking at
he goes, like, my socks inspired her.
And Spider would be like, if he can do that, then I can definitely make some dresses. So he's like, every fabric, he's like, what about this fat? What about some lace? You want to make a lace dress? She's like, no. He's like, what about a spandex dress? She's like, no. He's like, I can't believe this idiot has a sock company and I'm married to him. We're going to be married.
So they talk about the golf again. Or mm-hmm. kind of, because she's like, how was golf? Did everyone keep their rompers on? Haha, just kidding. So she's talking to this lady who's going to be her mentor.
No, that's later.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. That's a later scene.
Okay, so Louis's like, well, Lyle's ready to rock and roll with Catherine. You know, if... Oh, because they're talking about the beach party.
They're just looking...
What?
Yeah, they're just
what are
talking
about... Oh, they're planning a beach party. They're planning a beach party.
They're just looking at fabrics, and then Louis is again talking about, like, he keeps hearing all these rumors about Ashley. He's like, he's even heard that maybe that fire was fake. And Hannah's like, no. And I mean, like, come on now. The Dennis got burned.
Yeah, she's like, she didn't just like take a big lighter to Izzy's legs, okay? Like, he was burned. And he's like, exactly. Well, I just want the truth. I'm like, okay, Louis.
Good.
I love the Scooby van on this show. They're like, did she fake a fire? But I am proud of a person on a reality show even suggesting that would be fake, because it's so wrong.
Yes. I mean, but it's already crazy that they're accusing her of being a baggage handler, but then also that she started a fire. I mean, the rumors are ridiculous on this show. So then we go to Ashley.
She is a baggage handler.
Well, I was going to lead up to that.
Oh, damn it. Sorry.
We don't know that right now, but it's fine.
I saw it on the internet. I know everything I know from the internet.
Well, I mean, at this point in the show, I'm still chuckling because I think the idea that they're like, oh, my God, she's a baggage handler. I'm like, what a crazy rumor to make up, and also a crazy rumor to actually be like in a tizzy about, even if it were true. So at this
that
point,
that girl has a job. Dun, dun,
so
dun.
At this point, in my mind, I'm like, not only is it hilarious that they've like come up with this, the big scandals that she's possibly a baggage handler, which is not scandalous at all, and also so oddly specific, but now that she started a fake fire. So right now I'm already like, the show is kind of hilarious and what they're grasping for. But then we go to Ashley and Dennis, and they're cooking dinner, and Izzy comes downstairs. Izzy's really cute. He's super cute. He's like, I just came downstairs to say I love you guys. Stop feeding me bad food. Bye.
Please stop trying to poison me. Thanks.
Yeah. So then when he goes back upstairs, Ashley and Dennis are sitting on the couch, and she's like, well, a gullah lady came by, and turns out we're not soulmates, which I didn't think because we didn't have sex, but I guess we're not soulmates. And he's like, well, you know, I enjoy living here, so leave the salt and pepper alone, right? I'm like, oh, that's romantic. That's an affirmation of being a soulmate.
I know. When this was all Ashley talking in the testimonials, like, there's no romance. I was like, that sucks for the husband to have to hear about that on TV. But mm-hmm. she's not hiding it at all with him. She just, and you know, this is a conversation she has every week. Like, time for family meeting on the couch with the box of Franzia. You know what? We really don't love each other. And he's like, who cares? Our rent is paid. And she's like, oh, I'll try again next week. But she tells him, oh, you know, the lack of romance is really bugging me. You can't just ignore it. And he's like, look, I'm not going to take relationship advice from a psychic, which is a fair point. But
it's also...
There's still no romance. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's
has
like,
nothing to
well,
do with what she's saying. Yeah.
He doesn't hear me and it breaks my heart, but I knew what I was getting into. We just got married to go to Dubai together because it's Islamic and you can't live there when you're unmarried or I could go to jail. And then we stuck it out. I'm like, oh my God. It's called annulment.
I feel like there have been some really bad decisions in this marriage. That's what I feel like. Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you can blame that part of the world for a lot of things, but marrying to go on a vacation really isn't one of them.
Yeah, I don't even know why they went to Dubai in the first place. Was it was like a fashion opportunity? I don't know. So so then it's beach day, time for that beach party. Everyone gathers on the beach, and Catherine is, I like, she's drunk. She's talking about someone's, whose hand is she talking about?
Louis.
She's talking about Daniel's. Oh, Louis. She's like,
look, my Louis. Hand is as big as yours.
And then she's like, you know what they say, if you got big hands and big arms, then maybe you need a larger size shirt and gloves or a boomerang.
Ridiculous. She's like, you know how the saying goes. The size of your hands are indicative And she's just like playing with her own fingers. And the producer goes, of big arms? And she's like, I don't know.
And then she just drinks some more.
Yeah, I like her. I like that she's not just a straight up alcoholic. She's an alcoholic with a Xanax prescription. Because she's just always like, what? And they just keep the camera on her while nothing's happening.
Do you want a black couch? Maybe a fake cowhide for your floor? You know what they say? Big couch means big hands, right? Is that how it goes? I don't know.
So Nelson's like, hi, Happy, and other boyfriend that mother doesn't approve of. I'd like you all to meet my girlfriend. We started dating last January.
I remember the day because Lady Gaga came out with a new song that day. It was just a wonderful day.
It was called Born This Way. I mean, he wasn't, am I right?
And like, I was born as a male, a heterosexual male, so I really identify with that song, right?
Then there's a hot guy who's hanging out with them, and he's like, I thought that dude was gay. And Catherine goes, I've known him for a long time, and despite his behavior, he's not gay.
And then it cuts to Nelson going, like Rihanna says, work, 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 work.
You know, I never realized that song was about working at home.
It's what inspired me to open up my mortgage utility van rental company, magistrate.
Just when I thought I'd never see Hello Dolly again, Ben Midler's in it. God darn it.
I love that musical only because I really respect the way dollies can transport things across a floor.
Lyle's like, yeah, Ashley gets it. Wait till she gets here. They're like planning this. I love that they're planning this like a big, huge baggage handler confrontation. It's hilarious.
Yeah. So then these two hot guys come by, including this one guy named Alejandro, speaking of Lady Gaga. And man, he is super hot. I was like, can we have more Alejandro on this show, please? Like every episode.
Yeah, they're gross. They're just like, hey, yeah, we're on TV. We have mics. Let's hit on you. And they're playing volleyball. And so they separate into teams. And they just have a montage of Nelson trying to hit the ball. He's like, oh, 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 that wasn't good. That wasn't good, guys. I know.
That one a little too high. Sort of like if Lady Gaga tried to hit something out of her register. You know, she can do that. Madonna can't. I have to say, she cannot do it. She does not have the voice for it. But I do love her as a showman.
And then Catherine, the boys approach Catherine. She's like, who are these boys? Hell yeah. Yeah, hell yeah. You want to play? I feel like y'all are very cute.
Hey. Y'all have big fingers, and I hear that big fingers mean that you can thumb wrestle real well, huh? 1, 2, 3, 4, I smell a thumb war, if you know what I mean. Hey, remember those commercials where they had the thumb with a little smiley face and spelling garbage bags? Those were the days, am I right, boys?
You guys should have an armed sword fight. So she's like, guys, are you single? And they're like, you single? Where's your boyfriend at? Because he's not here. And she goes, no, he's not. I'm feeling flushed.
He's at the Ryder Cup and sodas and stuff and whatever. I'm a black couch.
She's like, hey, guys, can I feel your arms? Because I feel like you've got muscles. And so they flex and she feels them. And then the guys are watching from across the beach. And Daniel goes, what's she doing? That's so disrespectful. I don't walk up to chicks and say, you have great tits. Can I grab them? I'm like, you literally do. And we saw you do it last week at the end of that episode. So,
and it's also different when a girl does it to a guy versus when a guy does it to a girl. I'm sorry, it just does not. You cannot reverse it and have some sort of like you have any expectation that's the same situation. It just does not work out that way. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and you know it's less offensive when she does it because they're mic'd and signing to be on TV, whereas the girls you were walking to had their faces blurred out most of the time.
Yeah. So then Ashley shows up. And she starts talking about how the gullah lady came by. And what I'm really loving is that Happy is turning into the bitch of this show. And so, well,
turning
we already knew
into.
I know. I was about to say, we already knew basically from that time at the wedding shower or when Catherine said that, like, oh, I feel like Ashley's dressed like a slut. And Happy's like, well, she always is. Ha, just kidding. I was like, yes, Happy. You are my favorite.
No one named Happy is nice. I just don't believe that there's a person named Happy that's nice. And so Ashley, she's like, well, Gola. She's like, cool.
Happy and goes, summoning spirits? That's not even something I believe in.
And then Ashley goes, you know what? I could tell that they weren't even listening. And Happy goes, I wasn't listening.
Yeah.
So the boys are leaving, and Catherine goes, love you guys. Bye.
Well, also, I love that the elephant in the room is Ashley a baggage handler. And like Daniel's like, no one wants to simply ask her, is she a baggage handler or not? I'm like, no one wants to ask her because it's a stupid question. Who cares?
And Catherine's like, Ashley, gives her this long hug. And so Ashley's like starting to feel kind of comfortable, which is a huge mistake. So then Catherine and Dan, he's like, hey, can we talk about the pink elephant? I'm like, oh, geez. This show, that's now the fourth show this week that's talked about elephants in the room, and they're all different. It's like the pink elephant, the white elephant, all kinds of elephants in rooms. He's like, yeah. Lyle wants to be with you. And she goes, we're not in a room. Why did I put that? We're not in a room. Oh, can we talk about the pink elephant in the room? We're not in a room. And she goes, of course I want to be with him. I'm like, why do you think I've been here all these years? I'm like, you haven't. She moved away and he moved away. Now you moved back together to be on a show. What are you talking about?
Well, then Catherine says the problem is that Lyle gets moody. And then we see some footage of Lyle being moody, like, can you please stop adding makeup to my face, please?
He's like, and so moody. He put me in a dark place. When he doesn't let me beat his face, he puts me in a dark place. Okay.
And Daniel's like, I don't believe it. I don't believe that Lyle is moody. I think she's just saying it so that way she can blame him for why they haven't gotten along. I'm like, what is there not to believe about the fact that Lyle might be moody? It's like the most benign character assassination of all time. He's a little moody. I don't believe that for a second.
She's like, moody. Listen here, big hand arms. Back off. So then there's a
get off my black couch in the beaches.
There's one of those parachute things that you ski with. What are those called?
I know, like, what you're talking about. It has like a little fan and you're like up in the sky. And
I'm being dragged by a boat. And Nelson's looking up and he's like, it's like a horse and carriage in the sky.
It's like a go-kart in the sky. You know, so it's like go-kart for what? You know what I'm saying?
So let's see, blah blah so now, blah.
Ashley gives her number to Alejandro and the friend, which is she should not do this. One thing to admire his biceps, she probably should not be giving her number out, but whatever. And then of course it's time to go swimming, and so Hannah's like, you know, Ashley starts to go into the pool, and then Hannah goes, well, obviously we know Ashley loves taking her clothes off in front of our boyfriends, and Happy goes, I hate that.
You guys, she's in a bathing suit.
Yeah,
it's not even a slutty bathing suit. It's like one from the 50s. It's like a very modest bathing suit.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, there's a lot to get on Ashley about, I think. They have some definite complaints, but this is not one of them. They're like, that girl got in her bathing suit at the beach. What a bitch. I'm like, okay,
I hate that. Like, literally, why? Like, getting in a bathing suit at a beach at a place where people swim? Who does that?
And Louis is like, well, I wouldn't be happy if Hannah was giving out her number, but I trust Hannah, and that's the difference. I was like, you are such a bitch, Louis, and I love it. Really, I love your sock-making little self. And Catherine goes, guys, I haven't been hit on since 1985, okay? Like, let me get away with it. And Nelson goes, well, that's all scuttlebutt. And she goes, you're scuttlebutt. So Hannah's goes,
of the patented badinage one will find on Southern Charm Savannah.
It's like a horse and carriage in the sky. So Hannah goes to the seamstress lady, dressmaker lady.
And yes, she's now, like, now it's time for Kate.
This lady just looks at them like, ugh.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because when you first see when Hannah says that she wants to start a dress line, she talks about how she worked in different fashion houses in New York City. And she has a lot of experience, and she comes here. She comes to this very sweet-looking little dressmaking shop that's very sort of – looks sort of Holly Hobby. And there's this woman named Kate who has this big gray hair, and you sort of expect the way the scene is going to go is that Hannah is bringing her cosmopolitan learning to this sweet little shop, and this woman Kate is not going to know what to do. That's sort of what I thought the scene was going to be. But then Hannah – you know, Hannah's like, Kate is like the one – she is the dressmaking queen of Savannah. So Hannah presents her sketches. And they honestly made Lizzie from the OC, made hers look like highly detailed and meticulous depictions of bathing suits. Because this was just like square with a line through it.
Square. And she goes, well, I don't want to call these bathing suit cover-ups, but when you come off the beach in your bathing suit, you cover yourself up.
And Kate's like, it's a rectangle with a line through it. Okay, show me something else.
And the lady's like, I've seen this 1,000 times. So next. And she's like,
next.
Well, this is a roblet dress. It's like a robe and a dress, but it's like, you know, a dress. And she goes, honey, this ain't a dress unless it closes. This is a rectangle with a string. All right, here's what you need. You need to do more research because you do not have a great product. Now, don't be terrified. And then Hannah tells us, clearly, we're on two different pages. And I don't want to be impolite, but I don't think we'll be working together.
I'm like, no shit, Sherlock. And I don't think it's your decision. And then this woman just starts mocking her. She finds like this wand. She goes, okay, here's what we're going to do for you. Here, I'm going to hit you with fat, like fairy godmother dust. And we're going to save you because this is shit. It's all shit. You have presented me with shit. Good luck.
You know what you should do is start selling poop bags because you're laying piles of shit wherever you go. Okay, at least you know you'll be buying them.
Did you steal the design from Shiba Shire? Because that's what this looks like.
And so she goes, I'm going to use this wand to make your wish come true. And Hannah goes, or vanish in a puff of smoke. It's like, LOL. I can't wait until you take those designs to someone and they're like, oh my God, a square with a string? We are doing this!
Who? What was that? I'm trying to remember now. Oh, you know who she needs to go see? She needs to see Alexis Bellino's dressmaker. Remember that lady with the crazy face?
Yes.
Who made all of Alexis's maxi dresses? That's who Hannah needs. Some crazy lady who'll just follow orders and then take credit for herself.
Also, as fun as it is to make fun of your terrible sketching, I like that she's like, you know, I'm brand new at this. I'm really on step one. It's just a dream. I know I have a lot to learn because that's very rare to hear in the Bravo world. Normally people are like, how dare you? This would be in sex. And second of all, if you're just making a cover up and a wrap, it really only needs to be a square. So pick some cute fabrics and put them in some store somewhere. I mean, it's not brain surgery.
Yeah, like why don't you follow Asa and Patricia's lead and make caftans? Because
yes,
you just need a whole bunch of fabric.
I believe in you, but you need to dump Happy.
I believe in you and me. So now we go over to Happy. Happy goes and visits her mom on the dock, and the mom is crabbing, which is a good sort of symbolic moment for this. And actually even more symbolic is that we see footage of the dog and the crab fighting, which for some reason really warmed my heart. I just like that poor crab that's like, what the fuck is going on? I'm not in the water anymore, and there's a giant furry thing trying to sniff me. How do I save myself?
I love that the crab was facing off with him, and both the pinchers were in the air, and it was like moving back and forth on his feet, like, come to me, give it to me, dog. You give it
to like
me, canine.
It was like
Heather DeBro. Yeah, it was claw hands.
You need to get out of my face right now, okay? Terry,
my
where is Terry?
Children are in bed right now, sleeping. How could you do this to me?
Why are you trying to sniff me when I'm making a mural of my children as eggs in a tree?
That really was the best scene. Come and get me, you motherfucker. I'm ready for you, dog.
Yeah, that crab's like, if I'm going down, I'm taking you all with me. Who's that bitch over there crying? Oh, that's Happy. Oh, God, all the crabs know about Happy. She's the worst.
And the mom's like, well, welcome home, Happy. Look at me. I'm glad to be the one catching crabs for once in this family. It's like, Mom.
At least someone's doing something around here. At least someone is here to pass along the traditions of our grandfathers and grandmothers.
And Happy says, well, I understand that it's hard for my mom losing her daughter to someone who's completely different. And then it cuts to the mom from the baby shower going, well, she can't have a cross in the house.
What's she going to do? Nail a crab to the wall? Doesn't work. I've tried. So Happy is like, so, Mom, I just want to like talk to you about the prospect of, you know, having a baby that's going to be raised in a non-Christian home. And Mom goes, isn't this crab good?
She goes, you can't change the subject. She says, but I just did.
I was like, cold. I was like, I like the mom.
She's like,
she totally would not accept me into her life, but I like her.
Well, the mom's probably annoyed because they've had this conversation a million times. She showed up to the baby shower. It's like she's not going to change her whole opinion on it.
And she doesn't want to be humiliated on TV.
Yes, and Happy's like, okay, we'll just talk about crabs. So, Mom, are you going to stand between me and my man? She's like, God damn it, Happy. And Happy says, we just want to make sure you love us. And she goes, I love you to death. Just like those stones will stone you to death the minute you walk over there and don't wear a hat. Okay, so have fun with that.
Yeah, she goes, you know, the thing is, I just don't know. I don't know how Azam was raised. I don't even know if that's his name. I mean, who has a name that's almost like Mazda spelled backwards? It's very strange to me. I don't understand these things. I just think we need to sit down and be educated about the terrorism in his family. She's like, Mom.
We can't even buy y'all a dresser about. Because the minute we do, we're going to have to say, you know, that's carpentry and Jesus started that. And it's going to blow his damn mind. Like, how do you explain carpentry to people? Happy? How?
Mom, I'm not going to have these tensions at the wedding. The wedding! Let's talk about the wedding! Send the invites out. Let's talk about invites. Crabs, crabs, crabs.
She goes, well, okay, you want to talk about the wedding? Fine. Have you done the save the dates? And she's like, yes, Mom. She goes, well, when are you sending them? She goes, I don't know. What do they look like? Mom, you didn't do them, did you? Yes, I did. No, you didn't do them, did you? Did he tell you not to?
Oh, you're in one of your moods again, huh? I'm not a dark lord. I'm your mother, okay? I named you Happy for a reason, so be happy, okay? Pharrell wrote a song about you, okay? And I commissioned it.
Those people hate saving dates. It's like, Mom. And then the mom goes, now you're in one of your moods. And she goes, "Would you want me? Do you want to make me defend myself even more? And she's like, you are being defensive, and you got to learn to be forgiving if you're going to be in a marriage, because that's what marriage is. It's forgiveness. I'm not the dark lord, Happy. I'm your mother.
Fuck you and fuck these crabs. I'm going up to watch my stories.
I'm so using that if I'm ever a mom. I'm not the dark lord. I'm your mother.
Happy like takes down her like invisible barrier of magic spells. Oh, I thought you were the dark lord. I'm so sorry, Mom. Anyway, I did a roll check and I rolled a 20, so I think I automatically get a hit on you. Happy, stop doing D&D on me.
Now, Happy, why does your husband have to use a die with so many sides on it?
What happened to a good old six-sided die? Why do we need 20 sides nowadays? I mean, people just want a side for everything.
Those people got to change our entire culture.
You ever try to play Monopoly with a 20-sided die? I mean, you were just making laps and laps and laps.
You go try and play Yahtzee with that family and their 19-sided die.
Yeah, you try that. Good luck getting Yahtzee with your 1 out of 20 chances now, huh? I don't call that American. I call that communist terrorism right there with that crazy die.
That is socialist communism terroristism. Happy.
Obama's die. Thanks, Obama, for these
thanks,
dies.
Obama. Hey, Obama. Thanks. Thanks for Azam, Obama.
Thanks for your crazy dies.
On her thank you card, she's now, gonna be like,
I'd have to swap out my fuzzy dice on my Mazda now, huh?
She's gonna send out cards after the wedding. Thanks for buying gifts for my daughter who got married to Azam. Thanks, Obama.
When I told my daughter to roll the dice on love, I did not mean a 20-sided die.
So now we have a cut scene. We're gonna.
I'm
cut
sorry. I'm just imagining her storming into a toy store and like pulling the 20 set of dice off the shelves and throwing them to the ground. This is America.
So next we have a cut scene. It's Ashley at the Botox place, and I love that she even has defensive. She's so defensive about every little thing. She's everything. Like, "Well, here I am at Glow, which is where they do Botox, and yes, I get Botox and my boobs done, and furthermore, all other women in Savannah do it too. And if they don't admit it, it's because they're Christian, and Christianity is very judgmental about Botox and boobs. So there."
Yes, everything gets to a real deep place with her. Like, it's like, I would not like broccoli. And guess what? I'm not the only one who does not like broccoli. Okay, but I'm honest about it. Okay, and they're not honest, but that's because they are too much in the church. All right, I'm sorry, but I have gullah women in here. I don't like broccoli, and I'm open about it.
There, I said it. So she's going to her friend Courtney.
And Courtney talking like that.
She actually talks like a Botox needle.
Hey, hi Ashley. Does my voice box look thinner and younger? I just had it Botox.
I love how Ashley's complaining about how people are fake, and then she goes and finds a confidant.
He talks like this. Hi, you look great today.
I'm like, yeah, that just like reeks of authenticity there.
So next, we're intercutting between Brandon, the gay, and Catherine. Yeah.
Setting up for dinner party. Catherine's like, I know how to set up a dinner party because my family's been doing it for 200 years.
Yeah.
So I learned a few things.
And Catherine goes, the tradition of dinner parties in my family hasn't changed from 100 years ago. Well, now you have to pay people.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think maybe one thing has changed. I'm like, I always get uncomfortable when they brag about things that they did 100 or 200 years ago on these shows. I'm like, okay.
I know. It's like, we're either going to pretend that didn't happen or we're going to get on your ass about it. So make up your mind, people.
Yeah. So we also learned that Hurricane Matthew is en route during all this. But the dinner party must go on.
And this is so Southern. Oh, by the way, whoever came on there and said, Ronnie, Texas is not the South. Excuse you. Hey, I know that because Texas is proud of not being a typical South. But let's face it. Yes, it is. It's the same. It's literally the South.
Different though. South,
it is different. Yeah, Texas is different. But when I say in the South, there are different shades of Texas as well. I'm from El Paso, which is, you know, mostly Hispanic. That's Mexis. That's totally different than Austin, which is totally different from West Texas. And trust me, you get a lot of South in parts of Texas. So when I say in the South, I know what I mean, y'all. We all have different brands. But how dare you criticize El Paso, Texas?
People, don't come for Ronnie about Texas and the South, okay? It's a losing battle.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I feel so much better.
Yeah. No, I think
literally not
that
mad. I just have to acknowledge that I know it's not really the South.
And while we're really talking about things, a few weeks ago on one of the episodes, I guess we misrepresented what the phrase "what's good for the goose is good for the gander" means, and we understand that, and we apologize for all those goose and gander purists. So we know we'll be fallible.
What?
Yeah, we did.
What did we say?
What's
good for the man is also good for the woman.
I think it really is. So that's what you had said, but I think and I was like, yeah, but I think actually what it really is that like what's good for one is good for everyone. I can look it up right now.
Yeah. People are like, that's not what's good for the goose. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Also,
and you know
what's
what?
Good for the goose.
That applies. Yeah, that applies for this situation because it's good for us. It's going to be good for the audience to learn all this. This
yeah, while we Google. Isn't that fun? While you listen to a podcast, we're Googling things.
good for the goose is good for the gander. Goose and gander.
What is good for a woman is equally good for a man. Thank you very much.
So
no,
look,
they were fighting. They were
gander.
Fighting about
been,
something
I've
else.
I've been gandered. I've been goose and gandered.
Dude, you just
I think
got
it was on
gandered,
Potomac.
Okay?
I think it was on Potomac. What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Yeah, I'm not right very often. So when I'm right, I will Google that shit. But I know it's only like once a year. So yay, I'll roll around at that. Okay, so the hurricane's coming. And this is what I was going to say. This is how we are in the South. No matter how Southern you are, everybody's like this. Because Ashley goes, Courtney's like,
every time they say stuff like that, like you got to evacuate, I just think they're crying wolf.
And Ashley's like,
listen, you learn to cry wolf before you learn to walk in the South.
And Ashley goes, oh yeah, in the South we just sit on the porch and wait to meet Jesus. Or something along
who
those
I
lines.
Resent. No, she's like, yeah, well, it's funny because Ashley's kind of funny because she will occasionally get really folksy and Southern. She's like, oh yeah, when a hurricane comes through, we just get on the porch and we light up we get some cocktails and we just watch that. We wait for a good old fashioned thunderstorm from Jesus. Am I right, everyone? Southern.
Take me, I dare you. I've got plenty of shoes sitting up on my stairwell that I can tape together as a boat in no time, okay? Noah.
You know what? I'm sick of Hurricane Matthew talking about me behind my back. Stop trying to be so fake. Stop coming over here trying to hug Savannah, and then you're trying to blow us away. That's not cool.
So Catherine's telling Brandon, she's like, well, I'm glad we're having this party because I'm sick of Ashley telling Daniel that we ostracized her, and this should be cathartic. And Brandon goes, well, I am in therapy. I was like, okay, thanks, Brandon. She goes, well... random things he says. She's like, okay, well then maybe we can go to your therapist and then I'll go to Ashley's boob lady.
Yeah. By the way, I have an important goose and gander update. I just want to say that there's a broader definition for it, that what's good for one type is equally good for another type, so it doesn't have to be man and woman. It can be just like two things.
Yes, but still, the point when they said what's good for the goose is good for the gander is they're saying what's good for you is good for me, which is not the same. It's literally saying a different type of something. Stop trying to win the goose and gander fight.
No, I'm trying to make it inclusive. I'm trying to make it inclusive to all of us. What's good for your goose and gander thing is good for my goose and gander thing. It is a meta goose and gander situation, okay? What's good for you are the goose in the situation, I am the gander, and your goose is saying the goose and gander definition is that, and my gander is saying the definition is this, and what's good for your definition is good for my definition. We are all a goose and a gander.
Oh, hey, okay. In the South, not everybody gets a goddamn trophy, okay?
It's a participation trophy only for ganders. How do you feel about that, goose?
Hey, thanks for this participation trophy, Gander Obama.
Hey, who killed the gander in the jet? Maverick? What's bad for the goose is bad for the gander, too. You know what I'm saying?
We have officially gone fucking crazy, okay? It's the last show of the week.
It's 100% my fault because you were just doing a perfectly nice job telling us what was happening. I was like, wait a second. We have to circle back for the fifth time to goose and gander.
Okay, so Courtney, cut back to Glow, and Courtney's going,
Ashley, what's making you old?
Like age.
What? Tell me what's giving you wrinkles.
She's like, I can't stand these people. And then we cut back to Brandon. He's like, y'all don't know shit about each other, girl. And Catherine's like, well, I was raised not to talk about emotions and to portray problems. And you're just not supposed to pretend you have issues. And he goes, well, everyone in this town has issues.
She's like, I know, my heart has turned as black as my couches. So Ashley, the queen of don't pretend to be nice and then talk shit behind my back. So guess what she does? She then goes and gossips with Courtney about Catherine. And
yeah, she does the housewives thing where she's like, I'm not saying it. The hair lady is saying it. And yeah, she's going to do it in a really mean way. It's like so Teresa Giudice or Giudice.
Yeah.
So, but except that Ashley can't help herself. So she jumps right into it too, which is so funny. So Courtney's like,
well, these judgy people are also having some behavior that's out of the box. Now, we don't know that Catherine is being the best girlfriend to Lyle because she hasn't always been monogamous to Lyle. And Ashley's
Because Courtney, the Botox girl, her brother's best friend is Lyle. So she's heard of all this stuff about Lyle. And yeah, so Ashley's like, oh my God. Instead of Ashley saying like, you know what, I actually really like Catherine, so we probably shouldn't talk about her. She's like,
oh, one guy, two guys, three guys, were any of them gullus? Have any of them been sleeping in my attic? Tell me the truth, because I will charge her rent. She almost killed my child.
Is their baggage over 25 pounds? Because there is a fee for that.
Not on Southwest, though. But, you know, that's why I work for Delta. That $25 fee has flown me around the world.
So then we go to commercial. When we come back, there's this weird thing where we hear an AP White House correspondent announcing that Hurricane Matthew is coming through, which is cool, except there's no, like... It doesn't really play into this episode, except I think to be a foreshadow of the dinner party. It's not like the dinner party was happening and the windows were clacking and, you know, shit was breaking. But either way, it sort of set the tone, and the party starts. The big dinner party starts, and I don't know why I wrote this, but I wrote that Happy Anderson goes, "This is amazing, and I want whatever this is." I don't know why I wrote that.
Because Catherine, I think, is wearing a fur coat.
Oh.
And I think that's what it was. Also, I have to mention that Ashley goes, I can count my man on one hand, okay? And she's the runaround hussy. And then Brandon goes, well, the truth will set you free. Jesus said that. So funny. Okay, yeah, so they're all arriving, and Catherine's like, the thing about dinner parties, it's great. It's a great house and great atmosphere. But really, it's about the alcohol. Let's be honest.
She's like, how fun is that? I consider myself the Onegin of Savannah. I'm like, isn't that Paula Deen? Anyway.
He's like, I worked with her. Because Brandon, as people have pointed out, was on Paula Deen's show. He was her assistant.
He was, yeah. We didn't realize that because I'm more of an Ina Garten person, and Ina Garten had a new episode this weekend, so, like, really, I'm riding high on that.
I just
still
like watching Paula Deen to see what things she can add mayonnaise to, because it's literally everything. She'll be like, this is an ice cream sundae, but with mayonnaise.
It's a California roll, but with mayonnaise. Call back, Ronnie. So, So everyone is showing up. Lyle shaved, which is nice. He's like, I was thinking about doing an upskirt photo, but instead I decided to shave instead.
And then Hannah tells us, where I grew up, I didn't grow up in Savannah. I grew up outside Atlanta. And I'm no stranger to a fancy party, but there's a different air about it here. At my Christmas party, growing up, Mom had Santa passing around condoms. But here, people would whisper, that slut's passing around condoms. I'm like, yeah, and you would be the one whispering it, and Happy would be like, I know, I hate condoms.
By the way, newsflash, I think any party where Santa was passing out condoms, people would be whispering about it. It's not a Savannah thing.
I know, it's like, did Santa just hit on me? What is Santa trying to, where are my keys? Where
is Santa made of chocolate? Should we send him to Avery? So they're all sitting there, and then Ashley's showing up, and she's wearing like a little fur thing, and the guys are being such bitches. The guys, like Louis and Lyle, are the biggest bitches on this show. I'm sorry, because when Ashley arrives, you know, first of all, Happy gives such a nasty look, like, and then Louis is like, it's not that cold outside. Like,
well,
listen,
and thank God for Daniel, because he's like, shut the fuck up. Catherine like, just walked in wearing a fur too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And also, Ashley's was nice. I mean, Ashley's fashion is, you know, kind of all over the place, but she looked really good. And I loved her little fur thing. And I like that also when she walks up, she gets like the big business drums. It's like, boom, 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 boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom. She's about to give birth to twins in Jupiter Hala.
And Lyle tells Nelson, how well do you know her? And he's like, I think very well. Very, very well. I know her inside and out. Do you know what she likes? Lime slushies. Me too. That's called a date in heaven.
So then Lyle, you know, Lyle is so clever. He's going to get to the bottom of this baggage rumor. So he's like, so Ashley, I don't think you ever told me what you actually do. So what do you do with your life? She's like, well, I'm a stylist. Oh, you style clothing or accessories or something that holds clothing? Do you ever hold something that holds clothing? She's like, I'm not sure what you're talking about. Do you have a lot of emotional baggage and ixnay on the emotional stuff? You know what I'm saying? She's like, heh.
Do you need to wear yellow gloves to unload the baggage of high-end consulting of your Delta styling company? She's like, wait a minute.
So then they all gather for salad, which has strawberries in it, which I hate when there's strawberries in salads. Side note, if I ever get invited, Catherine, no strawberries, please. So now they're cornering Nelson, and now they're like, so Nelson, what do you do with your time? Like, what does Nelson do? Take us inside the world of Nelson. And he's like, well, mainly I like play the market and invest. You know, I call it news vesting. It's my new business where we look at news and we look at investing and we think about how do they impact each other. We're gonna have a news thing. It's called the news vesting, and then we're gonna go to the museum in Washington D.C. and we're gonna talk about news vesting. It's a great idea.
Then at lunchtime, I comb my mother's hair, tell her I love her, and listen to her advice for the day. And then it's back to the news. News vesting.
And Lyle's like, he doesn't work. He told me a story one time how he worked at Rolling Stone, which I believed. It's like, well, who's Lyle. The dunce here, Lyle?
Yeah, I mean, come on now.
I kind of love the fact that Nelson just tells people a bunch of bullshit. I think it's one of the funniest character traits we've ever seen.
I know.
What He's do like, you do during the day? Well, when I'm not telling Iraq to better hold their missiles in or Trump's going to come through and blow them up because I'm Secretary of State, I'm brushing Mama's hair.
I'd love to stay and chat, Lyle, but I got to go interview Mary Chapin Carpenter for Rolling Stone. Sorry. Bye.
I just finished directing the revival of The Color Purple on Broadway. Oh, my God. Fantasia. If that girl gives me one more piece of lip.
Yeah. So then I love Happy for some reason. She really hates Nelson. She's hated him since the first episode. She's like, why would anyone believe you? Like, why would people trust you, Nelson? Like, why? And he's like, oh, well, you know, like, I mean, who cares what a stupid little blogger says about me? It doesn't really, hasn't really impugned my reputation.
Yeah. It doesn't at all define me. And that's why I can't, you know, that's,
what did I write? I wrote, that's why I can't speak about it with such deftness. I don't know what that means.
Like, but that's what I can speak about with such deafness, because I know what it's like to have a blogger write things about me. And so I know what's true and what's not true. It's just a blogger slash, you know, Time Magazine slash Washington Post slash New York Times slash LA Times slash, you know, Dish Nation slash Entertainment Tonight during the Mary Hart days. That's all.
When I'm not styling Vanna White and teaching her how to turn around those numbers with more deafness, I'm running the country or breeding horses or combing my mother's hair. Any more questions? And happy goes, Nelson likes to use big words to try and confuse you so you forget what you asked in the first place.
Yeah. Okay, happy. So then Louie, who like cannot deal with Ashley's stupid, you know, little fur thing, he's like, ugh. But with Nelson, he's like, listen, I think it's great that Nelson is rich and wants to be friends with us and therefore is speaking openly about how he loves his family. I think it's great. And Happy's like, but he still hasn't addressed like this whole issue. And Louie's like, he's getting there. And she's, and I love Happy. She goes, how long does it take to get there? And I was like, kind of on her side.
Well, that's the thing. She's like the bitch, but you always kind of agree with her.
Yeah. And then Daniel starts lecturing Nelson for, and he's like, listen, Nelson, I want to say something to you. And Nelson's like, well, okay, well, I got something. He's like, no, I'm going to talk now. You need to know that when you don't address something, it's just going to get bigger and bigger in people's minds. And then Nelson's like, well, what I did was stupid. It was just stupid. And then Daniel's like, you know what, Nelson, I want to give you a hug. That was great.
But Nelson's like, well, think about that blogger non-journalist talked about. Yes, it happened. It's true. I mouthed off to a cop. Guilty, okay? I said I was Ernest Hemingway, so sue me.
So what? So what if I'm not an old man in the sea? What if I'm a young man in the sea? Is that so wrong?
It's called sunrise, being sunset. Fallible, okay? And Daniel's like, hug me. I love fallibility. He's like, fallible, fallible. I'm fallible. There, I said it. And then... So I said, but Brandon, he's like, okay, I got some questions. Were you the prime minister of the Bahamas? And he's like, I did not say that I was the prime minister of the Bahamas. That is not true, sir. I was the minister of finance and deputized librarianism of the Bahamas. Okay, it is on Google.
And I loved when Nelson, I guess he called himself something like the plenipotentiary or whatever of the Bahamas. And Lyle goes, huh, say it again.
Wait, do it one more time, Lyle. Do it with Nelson, I mean. Say it again. Say it.
I love your Lyle, because that is so true. You talk like
Wait,
Lyle.
Say it again. Can you say it, Nelson? Say that word again.
Plenipotentiary.
See? Yeah, that one.
So he goes, you can look it up on Google. And Brandon goes, oh, Google, huh? You blowing up Google. Google, girl.
So the Nelson starts saying, yeah, I was sent off to Liars Camp after that. I'm like, what? What is this? Liars Camp sounds inherently like a sort of thing that needs to be addressed in Liars Camp.
Well, I went to Liars Camp, if you will. And what was so funny is I was there because I said I was a member of Congress. And I was there with the guy who was actually a member of Congress. Do you believe me? I don't even care because I don't even know if it's true because I'm a liar. I learned that in camp. Ha ha. People look
hey,
that.
Hey, did I ever tell
that.
You that? Think about how we always call Lady Chablis a sham, you know, because she in camp, it's a play on words. It's hilarious. They should have sent me to comedy camp, honestly, but I went to liars camp.
It's also something that can keep your door open at night in a windstorm.
Listen, anyone with a brain can see that it was just a bunch of fraternal pranks. And then Happy goes, oh, well, maybe I don't have a brain.
He goes, people look at that in the media and they make it that I bumped someone off. But all it is, I mean, this is America. It's a republic. Okay, it's a republic called America and they're pranks. And she goes, well, maybe I'm not smart. And then Ashley stands up and she's like, that's it. I stop this right now. I know things about everyone at this table. And if you want to talk about things, let's just put it on the table right now.
Yeah, because Ashley is, she starts this screed under the pretense of defending Nelson. Although Nelson is a grown man and he can defend himself and he's done some things that are shady. So she doesn't really need to defend him. But so she starts off that way. And then, but it's really just an excuse that way she can say, listen, if you want to talk shit, I know shit about everyone, and I have something I'm going to say, and I'm going to say it about you, Catherine, because I'm sick of people being nice to my face, but then talking shit behind me, just like you, Catherine. And Catherine's like, yeah, you know, you're right. I'm sorry about that. She's like, like you, Catherine. Yeah, you're right. How do I say this in a way that makes Catherine mad? Catherine, you were a bitch and you said things behind my back. I absolutely did.
You're absolutely right, and I would like to apologize and get to know you better. And she's like, oh, really, Catherine? Like, she's so mad. And then Brandon goes, well, I want a biscuit. And Catherine's like, well, who are you? Oh, Ashley goes, if you guys have a problem, then we are I understand, Nelson, because I'm an outsider just like Nelson. And if you people have a problem with it, then why not just sit down and talk about it? And Happy goes, we are sitting here and talking about it.
Yes. Okay.
Now, if you want to talk your truth, I mean, look, I'm getting kind of offended. And she goes, and Catherine goes, well, who are you attacking? I don't even understand. And she goes, you. So good. And she goes, I don't know why you're rolling your eyes, Hannah. And Hannah's like, I had a conversation with you, and like, you pretend I didn't, and you want me to go to your pet? Well, I mean, I did, but Hannah was... you're acting like I didn't. And Ashley's like, oh, really? You want me to go into your past? Watch it.
Jeez. Yeah. And Hannah's like, shut the fuck up. I liked it in the middle of it. Lyle's like, this is like a really bad toast. Yeah, but like, by the way, Hannah was right, though, because Ashley's like, you know what? People talk behind people's backs. No one says anything to their face. And the fact that Hannah was like, you know, Hannah was right when she said, yeah, I actually did pull you aside privately and tell you calmly, and you freaked out. And then Ashley says, yeah, but you wouldn't let it go. It's like, no, you're the one who wouldn't let it go, but you're the one who stormed out. Hannah was not – the reason why Hannah – didn't quote unquote let it go is because you stormed out and you were so over the top with your reaction, you know? So she was like, can you believe this bitch? She like,
yeah, she goes, I'm not even from this town and I'm not a judgmental person. She goes, well, I don't agree. And then Catherine goes, you're right. I've been judging you by what people say left and right. And that's true. And she goes, well, no one asked me. She goes, well, but you never said you worked for Delta.
Yeah.
And she goes, like Ashley starts looking around the room like, oh shit. And then she goes, well, Delta, you know, don't ever leave the airport. The favorite joke about that. You know, I do work kind of there because I work 5 hours twice a week there. So I can travel the world and I don't have my daddy's money to travel the world. So what, you want an apology for me?
And then I was like, oh my God, she really is a baggage handler. This is crazy. In my mind, I was actually defending her against this ridiculous rumor, and it's actually true. I can't believe it. And then it's like, this is the thing that comes out. It's like a really shitty first draft of an Edward Albee play.
And but Lyle, I also want to say, oh no, go ahead. Sorry.
I just want to say, before the baggage thing, was that when Hannah and Ashley were still fighting, you know, Hannah's flipping out on Ashley, you know, saying like, what the fuck? I'm not from here. Like, you're saying all this stuff. And I love how Ashley kept on doing, well, how do you think I feel? Which is, drives me nuts when people do that, because
like, you're literally standing up and screaming about how you feel. We know how you feel.
And it's also one of those deflections. It's like, listen to what she's saying rather than try to say, how do I feel? If you feel like you feel the same way, listen to her and then show how it also impacts you and you can find a common ground. But instead, she's saying, how do you think I feel? And then Hannah says, you know, I'm not a judgmental person. And then she's like, well, I disagree with that, actually. And it's like, oh, gosh. You know, it's just... You know,
and
like,
so she's like, well, yes, I'm a baggage handler. I don't have my daddy's money. And Lyle goes, then just say that as friends. And she goes, fuck you, Lyle. And Dan goes, don't say fuck you. You've never told anyone you work for Delta. She goes, well, no one's asked me. And it's Ghost that I owe you an explanation. Okay?
She's kind of right.
He asked me to come and he doesn't have my back. I feel like I'm being fed to the lions. And Lyle was like, well, I was baiting you, Ashley. She goes, what? It's twice a week.
Stupid Lyle. Lyle's saying it like Inspector Poirot, like dropping the truth bomb on who murdered someone on the Orient Express. Well, guess what, Ashley? You fell right into my trap because I was baiting you. And you fell into it because you didn't say what you did. And she's right. why does she have to say it? It's like when people ask me, what do I do for a living? I might, some, depending on who it is, I might say I'm a writer. I might say I'm a podcaster.
The reason that they're saying she's being so fake, look, I don't think there's any shame in having a real job. And I don't blame her for not saying. But the reason they're getting on her is because she's like, I had everything. I mean, I was in Dubai. I was in the Hollywood Hills. I gave up everything. My mansion, my Range Rover. Like, she's just being a faker. Because she's really traveling, because she's a baggage handler, and she's acting like she's styling, you know, Lady Gaga in Egypt. And it's like, right. Like, shut up. So Louis goes, well, who cares if she has a desk job? And Lyle goes, no one. That's the point. I sell scent, tan, and salon products.
Yeah.
Okay? It's just that you pretend to fly around the world on your own dime, and that's not true. And Catherine's like, shut up. No one cares about Delta.
So then Catherine, meanwhile, the voice of reason in all of this is Catherine, because she's actually trying to build a bridge, oddly enough. She's truly trying to apologize. She's like, you know, she's like, I feel bad. I mean, I got small hands, small arms, so I'm already at a disadvantage. And I did hear these things, and I did judge, and now I see it bothering you, and I feel bad. And so I am trying to apologize. And Ashley's like, fine. Well, guess what? Why are you cheating? It's like, wait, Ashley, she's trying to apologize to you.
I've heard that Catherine's been cheating on you, Lyle. And Catherine just raises her arms in the air and covers her head.
Like, I give up with this crazy baggage handling bitch.
And Azam was LOLing in the corner. He's like, hee, 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 hee. And so Catherine goes, now look, if you sit here and attack me, I'm going to freak the fuck out. And Lyle's like, you got a bad reputation, is a liar. Her husband.
You got a Freddy Johnson bad reputation, girl.
And Ashley was like, well, I was getting Botox. And yes, I get Botox, truth, period. And Courtney told me.
And so Brandon weighs in. And so Brandon's like, fine. I heard things. I want to weigh in now. All right. Question. Do you have an open marriage and guys on the side? And Ashley's like, no.
Are you talking about the slaves in my attic? Because I had the gold lady take them away. Okay. I acknowledge it.
She's like, no, I mean, my marriage is a disaster, but no per se. And he's like, was there a fire? And she's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. He goes, was this there whole a thing fire was a or was there not a fire? Like actual flames. And Ashley's and like, then, people are set shit. That is my kid. That
and
is
I was
my
like, please
kid.
Don't go down the kid route. My favorite part was then it just cuts to Happy going, I come to a dinner party and I think I'm going to freaking eat. Ugh.
Okay, lady who started everything. So Dan's like, can I have the floor? And then Nelson's like, you've done. Oh, he goes, Nelson.
No, Nelson goes,
you've
L'chaim.
Done thing. Yeah, he's like, L'chaim, N-word, sugar duke dog, guten tag, or whatever. And he's like, now, Nelson, you've done things to me that have made me very uncomfortable. Do you realize that you said things in Yiddish? I mean, you said the word for N-word multiple times. And Lyle goes, that's racist.
Nelson, that's racist. I mean, come on now, Lyle. We don't want to see what's inside your DMs.
This show. So this was really good. What episode was this? Let me see on my notes. I closed my notes.
Episode of Southern Charm.
Yeah, Savannah. So this was number four, right?
Four, I think. Yeah.
So I think about we're halfway
four
through.
Or five left. Yeah.
Oh Lord.
So it was good. That was good. It was like that was great. This show needed a big messy dinner party where everyone was mad at each other for stupid ass shit. Stupid shit.
The seeds of real shit are grown from, or the flowers of real shit are grown from the seeds of stupid shit. Because all this stupid shit, now they'll resent each other forever, and then the fights will be more real. Isn't it funny how that works?
It really is. So good job, Savannah Cast. You are doing the right thing. Have more arguments about baggage handling and fake fires and shit like that around, you know, during a hurricane. We like it. We like that a lot.
So fun. So we will be back next week with a.
But first, Ronnie, is it the Friday tradition?
I forget. Mailbag.
This is what I said last week. I'm always like, I gotta say it before he wraps up. He always forgets.
The mailbag.
The mailbag. It's the Crappens mailbag. This is. For our Patreon supporters, people who support us at the Crappens mailbag level or above, get to write in questions and comments, and we read them here on the air. So we have a whole bunch of new questions for us. Why don't we start randomly with Bob Houlihan, who says, "Hey, Ronnie and Ben, I was wondering what you thought would happen if Patricia had to read all the other Bravo shows. Hugs, Bob H."
So I guess he's saying if she had to talk shit about them. Oh, she had to read them.
Read.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Should we just pick just a few rando characters?
Yeah. I mean, why don't we do Southern Charm Savannah, since we've been talking about it, and she probably has opinions about the other members of her franchise.
Okay. Let's see. Other shows. If she was talking about Dorit, she'd probably be like, "Well, a woman who does cocaine in a bathroom and has so many maids in her own plane probably doesn't know where to put a Diet Coke in a windstorm."
I'm not sure if I'm totally on board with Dorinda Medley's way of treating guests. Rather than leave them with a TV to watch some old Law & Order episodes, I'd go down to the local Blockbuster Vidya and rent the latest Steve Martin movie.
I've tried to think of some random people. My brain has been slammed against the sidewalk, I feel like, today.
I'm not sure how I feel about a lady who handles baggage for Delta. It seems like the work of something Catherine Dennis would be up to, but knowing her, she probably wants some Amazon Prime boxes to hold in her hands. I don't think a real lady holds bags. I think a real lady does things like not ridden the ghost from the third floor. That's part of the legacy of the third floor of a house. I'm not sure how I feel about Ashley.
Well, I don't know that I'd say anything rude about Nelson. I mean, he's nice to his mother, and even if he's just lying about being a congressperson, it's not like those people don't lie all day about doing something with their lives.
I have some concerns about Happy and that vicious crab on her dock. I think she should have spent less time talking back to her mother, more time trying to help her little puppy dog from getting pinched by that mean old Sebastian over there.
Bethany talks about being a skinny girl. Meanwhile, she's having babies with no daddies lined up in Soho.
I don't know if I'd ever eaten that restaurant, Oz. First of all, I don't see any poppy flowers or any of that yellow brick roads that I'd expect. And I'm not sure Emu is the next trend in food. I think what she needs to focus on is this cool thing that I learned about called curry. What you do is you put some rice on a plate and put curry on top of it, and then some accoutrements. Comes from some part of Asia where the men are extra dark, and they have very fragrant foods. I like it a lot.
Yeah, Patricia's a little difficult for me right now because I hate her guts right now. I go through different phases of loving her and hating her, but her Elephants Lives Matter still irks me.
It irks me too, but I still love her. It's actually very offensive, the Elephants Lives Matter thing, but I love me some Patricia as a character.
She's getting on my nerves. It really bugs me that she's so anti-Catherine, because as much of a mess as Catherine is, she was 21, and her fucking disgusting old man with his glued on hair and his glued on eyebrows fucking trying to ruin that girl to get her on a reality show, then putting her with Thomas, who everybody knows is a drug addict and drug dealer, and she's coming down on the side of Thomas and her son. She's just disgusting. Like, I'm starting to find her less funny.
I don't know. When you're an old person, you're allowed to be snooty about the youngins, so I'm okay with that. Hava Weber, she actually has a question that's perfect for us. She says, "I'm not sure if you guys have ever done this, and I'm forgetting, but which Bravo celebrities would you cast in remakes of Soap Dish and Bullets Over Broadway?"
Let's see.
Let's just do Bullets Over Broadway.
Okay. I think Olive would be Carol. At least the voice is similar.
Charmed.
Weren't we just doing a voice the other day that sounded like, I was like, that sounds like Olive. I don't even remember what show was on Wednesday.
I think that her actual character, though, Olive's character, would be more Erica Jane. But it would be like Erica Jane if Erica Jane was cast to play a psychiatrist on Days of Our Lives. Saying, "I need more lines."
I feel like it was probably Ashley from Potomac who we were doing that. We said was like Olive, and she sort of is like Olive.
Yeah.
Charm.
I think Eileen is probably Helen Sinclair.
Yes. You know?
What am I? Some vain old Broadway legend?
Don't speak.
So you like the play? I mean, I didn't really care for the dialogue or the characters, but the stage directions and the binder, best I've ever seen.
The mob guy who kills people, obviously, would be Joe Judice. So what? Who cares?
Joe Judice. And Dorit is clearly the Tracy Ullman character. Oh, I just came in and I was just like, oh, where's my dog? Where's Mr. Whiskers? Where's he now?
And Soap Dish, I think it would be Vicky Gumbelson as the Sally Field role. Like, what are you doing? Like, where's my turban? Like, seriously?
That reminds me, I think Brianna was in my dream last night. I had a dream that I was playing slots at a casino, and The Rock came over and went bloop to my nose, and then I got hit the jackpot, and Brianna was right there, and I like shared the earnings with her. It was so weird. This is what happens when you're sick. You have really weird dreams.
Yeah, please stop sharing your winnings with Brianna. What the hell? I would be so mad at you.
I feel like Nurse Nan has got to be there's got to be a good Nurse Nan. I almost feel like Vicky Gumbelson is Nurse Nanish, but she is no Nurse Nan is definitely. I mean, sorry, Vicky Gumbelson is definitely Sally Field's character. Nurse Nan might just be like Heather DeBro. I don't know.
Yeah, she would be, but Heather's like more under the radar evil.
Well, there's also a chance that Shannon Bedore could be Nurse Nan, only because Nurse Nan actually goes, David, multiple times in the movie.
Yes, and David would be David Bedore.
David would be David Bedore.
We could just keep that one.
Yeah, it's basically Soap Dish is Orange County. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Tawny is like, Tawny is essentially is Lizzie, and Megan King Edmonds is probably, what's her face?
Justice.
Dr. Monica Delmonico.
No, I think she would be... oh, yeah, because she's the one who brings all the evidence, right?
Yeah.
Justice. So then
Whoopi Goldberg would then be probably Kelly Dodd. Because Kelly Dodd would be the one to be like, the Dalai Lama, what's Fernando Lama? I can see Kelly Dodd saying something like that.
What else is in that mailbag, man?
That's it for now. We'll get back to it next week. Close out the week, Ronnie. Close it out.
You guys, it is time to go. Thank you so much for listening all this week. We love you guys. We've got a bunch of new stuff up on Patreon. The Ringers went up this week. Something else just went up there. Anyway, thank you to everybody who supports us. The bonus will be up a little late this week, but it should be a fun one. We're going to talk about Mommy Dead Dearest, the HBO documentary. So go check that out and have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everyone. Bye.